Earth Sky.
Welcome to Earth Sky 22, 22 minutes of science and music. I'm Michael Brennan. This week, we're talking about habitable zones and extremophiles, skywatching the planet Saturn, and Song of the Week is by Devin Sproul. Here's your scientist soundbite.
Of course, Saturn is the ringed planet, so people always love to see it. And in 2013, we're coming up on the time of year when it's going to be best to see Saturn.
That's skywatching expert Deborah Bird. We'll talk more with her in a moment, but first, Emily Howard and I are going to run through science news of the week.
A new study led by an international team of biologists has identified some of the brain chemicals that allow seals to sleep with half of their brain at a time. The study was published this month in the Journal of Neuroscience and was headed by scientists at UCLA and the University of Toronto. It identified the chemical cues that allows the seal brain to remain half awake and half asleep. Findings from this study might explain the biological mechanisms that enable the brain to remain alert during waking hours and go offline during sleep.
There's a lot of excitement about Comet Ison, which might become a very bright comet visible across the globe by the end of 2013. But before that happens, a second comet is on track to become visible to the eye alone when it's closest to the sun in March. This week, we're beginning to get first photos of Comet Pan-STARRS on our Facebook page from our friends in the Southern Hemisphere. It's already visible with binoculars, and it already has a fan-shaped tail. In March, this comet will come into view for Northern Hemisphere skywatchers, and by some estimates, it should brighten enough to see with the unaided eye. For more on both comets, visit earthsky.org.
Researchers have managed to halt the progress of colon cancer and its metastasis in the liver in an experimental model with mice. This advance, that might open a new path for the future treatment of such pathologies, has been achieved by creating molecules which interfere with the adhesion of tumor cells to other healthy cells in the organism. The research was published in the prestigious North American Journal of Medicinal Chemistry.
It's not unusual for cancer patients being treated with chemotherapy to complain about not being able to think clearly. New research by Rutgers University behavioral neuroscientist Tracy Shores offers clues for this fog-like condition, medically known as chemotherapy-induced cognitive impairment. In a featured article published in the European Journal of Neuroscience, Shores and her colleagues argue that prolonged chemotherapy decreases the development of new brain cells, a process known as neurogenesis, and it disrupts ongoing brain rhythms in the part of the brain responsible for making new memories. That's Science News of the Week. This week's Song of the Week is by Devin Sproul, who's doing a Kickstarter campaign right now for her new album titled Colors. Here's The Unmarked Animals by Devin Sproul.
When you grown up,
get to know the ghost you're walking out toward? Will you try to show me how to go slowly up to that mushroom and
was The Unmarked Animals by Devin Sproul. Check out her Kickstarter for her new album, Colors. You're listening to Earth Sky 22, 22 minutes of science and music. You can find us as Earth Sky on Facebook, Earth Sky Science on Twitter, and at earthsky.org. Deborah Bird is here to talk about the full moon, the star Spica, and the planet Saturn. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, Mike. Well, yeah, the full moon is coming up soon. And depending on when you're hearing us, you might be hearing us around February 23rd, 24th. If so, the moon's not quite full yet, but it might look full to you in the sky because it looks, you know, bright and full for several days around full moon. Full moon actually comes on February 25th.
Okay. So is there anything special about this full moon?
Well, every full moon has a name, and in the Northern Hemisphere, we call this full moon for the month of February the Sap Moon, Linton Moon, Crow Moon, or Worm Moon, and those are just some of the names for the full moon, Mike, because, wow, there are just so many names, full moon names, and if you come to earthsky.org around now, you can search on full moon names and see some of the great names for full moons.
Yeah, and all the folklore related yeah. to it, yeah.
Yeah.
So full moon on the 25th, and is there anything else up there that we can look out for?
Well, one thing that we've been noticing this year is how many people see lunar halos. And this isn't a rare occurrence. It's really a very common occurrence that people will see lunar halos, I think especially in the winter months, because the halos are caused by ice crystals in the upper atmosphere. So this year, for example, on Earth Sky's Facebook page, we've had so many beautiful photos when Jupiter was closer to the moon earlier this month, around the 17th and 18th of February, we had so many great photos of the moon with Jupiter right next to it, and both of them surrounded by this beautiful lunar halo. So you tend to see those halos more when the moon is brighter and fuller in the sky. So around now, you know, look for that. Look for a halo around the moon. It's a big circle around the moon. And again, it's caused by both reflection and refraction from ice crystals that are in the upper atmosphere.
Yeah, those are really cool to see. I saw a couple this winter.
Yeah, they're great. You can see them in the summer too. But, you know, we've seen so many pictures this winter, this Northern Hemisphere winter. And really wonderful.
So I understand it's also a good time to check out the star Spica.
Well, the moon toward the end of February and early March is going to be waning because full moon will have passed, and it'll be moving over, you know, rising later at night and moving over toward the morning sky. And the planet Saturn and the star Spica, which is close to it in the sky, are going to be coming up, you know, around, you know, late at night, mm-hmm. and they're going to be near the moon in late February and early March. So, you know, we haven't spoken much about Saturn recently. Saturn is on a yearly cycle in our sky, in much the same way that most of the planets are on a yearly cycle in our sky. And that cycle has to do more with Earth's orbit around the sun, at least for the outer planets. It has to do with Earth's orbit around the sun, not what the planets are doing. Mm-hmm. It's mainly caused by Earth's orbit. And so Saturn is on a yearly cycle. It's a It's a more distant planet than Earth from the sun. Of course, Saturn is the ringed planet, so people always love to see it. And in 2013, we're coming up on the time of year when it's going to be best to see Saturn. So if you start watching the moon now, when it's that big bright moon, close to full moon on the 25th, and then you keep watching until the moon is rising later and later at night, around the 27th, 28th. On the 28th, late at night on the 28th and early in the morning on the 29th, you'll see the moon right next to the star Spica, and the other bright object nearby is the planet Saturn. And then if you go one more night, late at night on March 1st until early in the morning on March 2nd, you'll see the moon next to Saturn itself. So you can start to identify those two objects in the night sky, the star Spica and the planet Saturn. They're going to be close together, and Spica can help you see Saturn. So cool thing to look for toward the end of February and early March.
Definitely. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Did you think of me that day when you drove down the driveway? I was a handful then, I know, with my shoes untied. I wouldn't watch the sunset without a coat and a helmet. I was a quavering maple leaf about to drown. But on the shore of the lake last fall, I don't know if you heard us all, but I found a crow in the sand, and I asked, am I missing something? From you and left, I meant I was sorry, just so you know. I read the letter you wrote to me when you moved back to Kentucky. Said the hills are so green, my God, you should see them. And now, though it's early spring, cold in the morning, and I keep my curtains mostly closed.
That was Lake Charlevoix by Dana Falconberry. We're Earth Sky. We interview the world's top scientists, and we're heard millions of times each day. Thanks for listening. The habitable zone is a zone around a star that is favorable to life, where water may exist in a liquid state. Our planet Earth orbits in our habitable zone of our own star, not too hot, not too cold. Our orbit is relatively circular, but there are many exoplanets with more eccentric orbitals. New discoveries about organisms called extremophiles, which can exist in extreme conditions such as heat or cold, has led NASA scientists to consider updating our definition of a habitable zone to include those exoplanets with eccentric orbits of their home star. Earth Sky's Emily Howard spoke with NASA research astronomer Stephen Kane.
Welcome to Earth Sky.
Thank you.
Why do you think that astronomy's current idea of a habitable zone needs to be expanded to include planets with more eccentric orbits around their stars?
Right. Well, the reason is because there have been many huge surprises which have come out of our discovery of planets around other stars. We've found that other planetary systems are often very different from our own. One of the features of our own solar system is that the planets orbit the sun in almost circular orbits, so the distance between the planet and the star doesn't change very much. But we know that around other stars that there are many planets in what we call eccentric orbits. So it's like the orbit of a comet. So it can come in very close to the star and then move out into a long, cold winter. And when we calculate the Hubble zone for all the different stars that host these planets, what we find is that a lot of these planets, even though they're in eccentric orbits, they can still spend a lot of their time in the Hubble zone. So that then begs the question, well, can the planet sustain life while it's in that period, while it's in the Hubble zone, and even keep that life while it moves out of the Hubble zone? And so we've been doing a lot of study on things called extremophiles. And extremophiles are organisms which can survive in very, what we would consider, very extreme conditions. And that normally means extreme heat or extreme cold. So you could have something, a planet, which spends a lot of its time in the Hubble zone, but then it moves out into a long, cold winter, and these extremophiles will go into a hibernation state. They'll reduce their metabolism, and then during that period, they're able to survive until the planet comes back into the Hubble zone. What this means is that there's probably a far greater range of planets that may still be habitable that we haven't really thought too closely about yet.
So on these eccentric planets, would you expect that the majority of life there to be extremophiles? What sort of life would you expect to find?
I would expect fairly rudimentary kind of life because I just gave an example of a planet which is occasionally subjected to extreme cold temperatures. There's also the opposite, where you could have a planet which moves closer to the star and experiences intense amount of heat at the surface. But in those cases, the organisms can survive underneath an insulation layer of rock or ocean if there's water on the surface. But what that means is that the extreme conditions doesn't really enable, or I wouldn't expect it to enable, a great deal of complexity to the life in that it has to continually go into these conditions of low metabolism, of hibernation, in order to survive in those environments. The question is, of course, could they have evolved on those planets in the first place in order to be there to experience these conditions? Because the extremophiles that we study now on Earth, they have been around for a long time. And it's one of the unsolved questions in this is understanding fully what does it take to have life form there in the first place. And if it does, then can it sustain itself during these periods?
Very cool. If astronomers are to expand the definition of habitable zone, how many planets will this basically add as potential candidates for life?
Well, this depends on the types of planets that we're talking about, because a lot of the planets that we know of, which are in eccentric orbits, a lot of those are giant planets. And from our own experience of the solar system, we expect a lot of those giant planets to have moons. So it wouldn't so much be the planets per se which are habitable. It would be the moons of those planets which are habitable. And that could add untold numbers of possible habitable locations into the catalogue of places that we should be looking for these kinds of life.
Earth Sky's Emily Howard speaking with NASA research astronomer Stephen Kane. And that's our show. Thanks for joining us. This week's show was recorded in Earth Sky Studios in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Special thanks to our musical contributors. For more information about the music or the science you heard, visit earthsky.org. Until next week, be good to one another. I'm Michael Brennan. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
There are too many artists, too much art, and not enough genius, I believe. Science is the art of the next age. There are so many artists, too much hype, and not enough reason, I'm afraid. Silence is the song of the next age. But what we don't know won't hurt us. What we don't know won't keep us up at night. What we don't know won't hurt us. But we don't know, but we don't know, but we don't. What you don't know won't hurt ya. What you don't know won't have you terrified. What you don't know won't hurt ya.
How about you don't know, but you don't know, but you don't. The art of the next stage. We don't, what you don't know won't hurt ya. What you don't know won't have you terrified. What you don't know won't hurt ya. How about you won't know, but you won't know, but you know. What we don't know won't hurt us. What we don't know won't keep us up at night. What we don't know.